Hi, I'm Connie Wilkes.
I'm Marlene Nelson.
I'm Jerry Gropp.
And I'm Sherry Spute.
And our last names make up the acronym WINGS.
We're just four ordinary moms with extraordinary bonds.
The Lord gathers us all under His wings as a hen gathers her chicks, and we hope to offer a place to gather for our friends, family, and all who wish to join us.
So welcome to our podcast conversation, Under His Wings.
Welcome back. We appreciate you being here and listening to us. This year, we've decided we're going to do things a little bit differently and have a lot more guests on with us because we believe that everyone has a story to tell and that we can all learn from each other. And so today we've got a guest, and I will let Jerry introduce her.
Yeah, this is our first podcast of 2024. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And it probably isn't going to come out until February. So yeah. Just give us grace, right? And usually for the first podcast, we're going to focus on New Year's resolutions. Actually, that's what I call them because they just revolve around and around.
Year after year
New
after year.
New Year's resolutions. And we talked about kind of like what we were going to do. And Connie has brought up before in a podcast about how she picked a word that she was going to have for like her word of the day or her word of the week. And so I was talking to my friend Wendy, who's here with us today. Wendy Jepson. Hi. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, it's good to be here. Thank you.
She's my inspiration for this podcast because she told me about her word choices for the year and for last year. And I really loved it. But before we get into that, I'm going to just introduce Wendy. She is a friend of mine from work, and she's my soul sister, and I love her to death, and you're going to all love her too. She has a really great story, so she has to tell you about, before she tells you anything else about her, she has to tell you my very favorite story about her and how she met her husband.
Okay, so I met my husband, Rick. We were missionaries in the Missionary Training Center in Provo, Utah, and I was headed to Brazil, and he was headed to Portugal at that time, but we weren't in the same program. We were in different districts, but one day, my district was out for a walk, and his district was out for a walk, and we were headed toward each other, and our eyes met, and I said to myself, that's the guy I'm going to marry. And we kept walking, and as we started to pass each other, I said oi to him, which is hi in Portuguese, and he said oi back, and we just kind of kept walking, and then I stopped to turn around and look at him, and he had stopped and was turned around looking at me, and we just kind of smiled and, you know, went back with our districts, and then a couple days later, in the MTC, in the Missionary Training Center, you're in, you know, you go to these large group meetings, and I had been sitting there with my group, and the meeting had started, and all of a sudden I felt someone like rush in and sit right down next to me, and I turned and I looked, and it was Rick and
Elder
Jepson. Yes. It was Elder Jepson, and turns out that he and his companion were late, and they had just rushed in and sat down in the first two spots that they saw available, and he and I talked through that whole meeting, and in that first conversation, he said, so how long after our missions should we wait to get married?
Oh, my word.
Yeah. And I said, probably about 6 months. And that's what happened. He got back in January and we got married in June. We wrote to each other for that entire 2 years and got to know each other that way.
I love
it. Yeah. When I got home from my mission the previous August, I dated his family and got to know them a little bit. And yeah.
Before he got home.
Yeah. Huh? Yep. Totally. And now coming this June, we'll have our 25th wedding anniversary.
Mm, that's beautiful.
Isn't that the best story yeah. ever?
No coincidence. Seat was open.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, and I have to admit, sometimes in my telling, I've gotten the details a little wrong. Now I have
that's
it.
That's okay, Rick does too.
I think I said 2 weeks, not 6 months. But I love it. Now we have it down for posterity's sake.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So what else do you want to tell us about yourself, Wendy?
Let's see. I have two kids, Olivia and Isaac, and they are 21 and 19. Let's see, I graduated from the University of Utah with my degree in elementary education and a minor in teaching English as a second language. And I love to make soap from scratch.
And she's very artistic. Awesome. You used to make jewelry.
I did.
I mean, what other things have you done besides the jewelry?
Refurbing furniture. I love like putting my house together in a fun way. Lots of colorful things going on in my house. But yeah, I mean, I like to just use my talents to put color and joy out there, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that. And so you're really an empty nester. Your kids are gone.
Yeah.
One's on a mission and one's in college. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's been
it's just you and Rick.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the two lovebirds.
I love it. And they are. It's so sweet. I love how you just tell me that he's your best friend. And
he is. Yeah, he is for sure. Yeah. He's my ride or die.
That's a great love story.
Yeah, thank you.
And there's not a whole lot of, and I mean, it's hard to find those marriages that are happy and lasting. And I love it. That's a great example
for
all of us. Thanks, Wendy. Well, okay. So let's get to our New Year's, new you, new us. And tell us about this whole thing about words. How you inspired me with your words.
Okay, so... We, as a family, we used to sit together and do, you know, New Year's resolutions, and we would think of the four categories to make goals for, you know, based on the scripture of Christ grew in wisdom and stature and with God and man. And so we would try to think of goals in each of those areas, and we stuck with that for several years. And then it just seems like as the kids got busier and moved away, we somehow dropped that. And so last year, I was just thinking about, you know, I had heard that other people had like, you know, this is my word of the year. And I was like, oh, that's great for you. And I never really cared much about it. But last year, I don't totally know what inspired me to say, okay, yeah, this year I'm going to do this. But I'm really grateful that I did. The word that I chose last year was simplify. And that came, sorry, guys. That proved to be a really, really, really good word for the year, because last year ended up being one of the most difficult years of my life. And a lot of challenges happened last year. And to have that word simplify in my head all the time really made a big difference in a lot of different ways in all of those categories, you know, and more. And so that's what made me want to do it again this year, is just how much that word simplify changed me as a person completely fundamentally. And so this year, as I was thinking about,
well, hold on just a second. Okay. So I want to ask you, go back to simplify. Can you think of anything that stands out to you that you really learned from that? That, I mean, I know lots of things, but what were some of the main things that you got from that?
So one thing is that I'm going to share this experience with you. So we felt a real push to sell our house last year after the kids moved out and we became empty nesters. And some of that was because it's a lot of house for two people. And, you know, we live on a half acre, and that's maintained half acre, and that's a lot of maintenance for two people. And so we just felt a real push to get out of the house. And so in going through our stuff, we remembered the scripture of Joseph, you know, and his brothers coming to meet him and realizing, hey, this is Joseph. And Joseph was like, hey, you guys can come and live with me and leave. He said, regard not your stuff. Leave all your stuff behind. Come and live with me. You'll have plenty. And so as we were moving and getting rid of our stuff, we were regarding not our stuff. And we were simplifying by just going through everything and seeing what we didn't need and seeing what we could pass on and all that jazz. But
because you're going to live in an apartment.
Yeah, we were going to live in an apartment. Right. We weren't in a hurry to like move, to like find a house and move into it. We really wanted to find the perfect place for us. And so we had been planning to live in this apartment for, you know, a couple years or so. Mm-hmm. So we needed and wanted to just get rid of stuff. And it turns out that what you think is the plan is often not the plan.
Yep.
So we put our house on the market and moved into an apartment, and the house didn't sell and didn't sell. And we did all sorts of things to make that house sell.
And this was kind of at that high, when the market was like people were selling their house in a day a week.
And it was really frustrating because we were like, why is our house not selling? Like that house a couple blocks oversold and it's smaller. It's not as cute. It's not on as much land. It's more expensive. Why is that house selling and our house isn't? So we were super confused and we were like, why do we still feel such a spiritual push to get out of the house, to be out of the house? And we did not understand. And I even sold my dream car that I had so that we could have the money on hand to do a 2-to-1 interest rate buy down. And still it did not sell. And we were like, what is happening? So we decided, okay, let's put it up for rent because at that time we still were feeling like we shouldn't be in the house. And so we did all the photographs, did all the paperwork, signed the contract to put the house up for rent. And we were like set to do that. And probably about a week after we had decided to do that, we were at the house to get the rest of our stuff out. And I went upstairs and stood in Isaac's old room and felt peace for the first time in months. And this whole time that we had been trying to sell the house, it was walking through that thick fog of not knowing what the next step is and just taking the step and going and just trusting that the Lord knows what's going to happen. So having felt that peace in Isaac's room felt really strange and foreign. And I was like, whoa, that is unexpected. So I went downstairs and I said, babe, what if we're supposed to move back in? And Rick looked at me kind of shocked because we had talked about that and I had been adamantly against moving back in because I just felt like we weren't supposed to be in the house. And so he looked at me and he said, is that what you think? And I said, yeah, I think so. We went back up into Isaac's room. We knelt down and we prayed and it felt like the heavens opened and we started laughing and we started crying and we looked at each other and we said, are we doing this? And I said, yeah, we're doing this. And it was insane. And then we were like, okay, well, Jerry, that's the day that I had just like 1 hour before I was like, so do you want to come look at this washer and dryer?
Yeah.
Or not? And then I texted you again and I was like, never mind, don't come look at the washer and dryer. But it was really crazy because I went back to work and I was telling everybody that we were moving back in. And Nicole said, so when was that? And I was like, oh, it was probably like 10:30 on Saturday. And she was like, Wendy, so I felt a real push to go to the temple that morning. I was going to go at night with my husband, but I really felt like I needed to go that morning. And she said, I went to the 10 o'clock session and I put yours and Rick's name on the temple roll. And I have no doubt that the reason that we felt the heavens open is because they did.
Oh my goodness. And when she says that, when we go to the temple and put names on the temple roll, we all pray for that, those names. Yeah. I mean, and that's a people, like lots and lots of people throughout the day praying for you. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing. It was pretty special.
Wow. That's a great one. And it made you simplify.
Yep. Exactly.
That's what's crazy. You had to simplify your entire, I saw her. I bought two of her chairs that I love.
Yep.
Sorry, you can't have them back.
I don't want them back. That's part of the simplification thing is the things that you get rid of. You don't take them back. You simplify for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Okay. Now you can move on to your new word.
Okay. So in thinking about, you know, how well that went last year with the word simplify, I really wanted this year to think of a word that would be as effective, I think, and I'm hoping that it will. But my word this year is water. And part of the reason for that is that I'm terrible at drinking water.
Yes, she is.
So I'm hoping that that will help encourage me to drink more water and to be healthier. But I also chose water because there are so many different characteristics of water and so many different, I guess, states of water and so many different things that water does and can be and can do. And, you know, every day I'm thinking about more things and learning more things that water is and does. But some of the things that I have thought of is that water can put out fire, it can ripple, it can nourish, it can cleanse, it can roll off your back, it can go with the flow, it can erode hard surfaces, that one's thanks to Jerry, it can make its own path, it can heal, it can purify. One thing that I recently thought of was that it can be two things at once, where it can be powerful like a wave, but there's foam on top of a wave, and it's light and gentle, and so you can be those two things at once. Water is silent, it's loud, it's powerful, it's gentle, it's invisible, it can be invisible. It is calm, it's refreshing, it's comforting, it can carry people and things. But there are also some things that you got to be careful about, because water can also be stagnant and it can also be deadly and it can be a storm. And there are just lots of things that water can be and do. But those are some of the things that I'm trying to think about as I go through my day. And I think about, okay, how can I be water today? And how was I like water during the day? Mm-hmm. I'm keeping a journal, and in it I'm writing down how much water I drank that day, which so far is a little discouraging.
Hey, it's all about percentages. That's our motto.
Always room for improvement.
But it's also interesting to see how much thought it can take me to say, okay, what was I today that's relevant to water? And sometimes the only thing I can think about is today I had tears, or, you know, something easy, something that's not super deep, but it's proving to be more challenging to be like water than I wanted it to be.
And that's interesting. That's an interesting thought. And why do you say that it's more challenging than you wanted it to be? Because there's something behind that.
I think that when I wake up in the morning and I look at the word water that's written on my mirror, I have an idea of what I want to be like that day. And a lot of that is based on what I was the previous day. And days just don't go as planned. And so on a day that I woke up and I saw my word water on my mirror and I thought, today I'm going to go with the flow, or today I'm going to nourish a relationship. Sometimes by the end of the day, I'm like, oh man, I feel like I did not do those things. I feel like instead I was stagnant, or I was like
stuck in a puddle.
Yes, exactly. And so it's hard to like think that you're going to react in one way and find that you don't react that way when it gets to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think that's pretty much all of us.
Yep.
Right? That's every day. I just love that you've got this one word that's on your mind. So you inspired me, and I thought a lot about all the different words that I could choose. Simplify is a good one, and I feel like I subconsciously chose that a couple years ago, and I have been doing pretty good, you know, percentages. I'm starting to simplify things in my house, purging a lot. But I chose the word learn this year. And you just really inspired me. So like I came home and I downloaded,
Duolingo.
Duolingo. Yeah. I'm learning French.
Oui, oui.
Oui, oui. Je suis Jerry. Susan says I have a Spanish accent when I speak French. But
that's funny.
But it's made me think like every day. Like I also have this one app that just summarizes books. So I get this 15-minute blurb of all these different kinds of books, and I have loved it. And I have decided this year that I am going to go back to school, and I'm going to finish my degree, and I'm going to see myself as a counselor. And someday that's going to happen. Yeah. And even though I'm old, I decided it's okay. I could die tomorrow, and I still get to take all my knowledge with me. And so that word has been really impactful for me so far this year.
That's
and
so wonderful.
I have you to thank for that.
I'm so glad, Jerry.
Sherry, what about you with your new year? You've got so much going on. Mm. What's your thing this year? Mm.
You know, I've never really chosen a word. I've heard people suggest that. I think last year was probably the first time I'd heard of it, but it's not something I've ever done. I'm more like you, Wendy, in the way that I try to choose a goal in each of the four categories, you know, something spiritual, educational, mental, physical.
Yeah.
Or maybe social is in there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but I think if I was to choose a word, my word would probably be love, because as I look at all of my goals this year, love is kind of the overarching principle. I want to be someone that reflects the Lord's love, because I've been privileged to feel that love that he feels for others often. And so I would like to be a reflection of that. You know, I've got a lot of missionaries that I minister to. I want them to know how much they are loved, not just by me, but by their Creator and their Savior. Family members that I, you know, we don't all live together anymore, that I'd like to work a little harder at reaching out and making sure they know how important they still are to me, and express love to them, and just anyone really, even self-love, right? Yeah. Working a little harder to eat better and exercise more and make sure I'm getting the spiritual nourishment that I need through scripture study daily, and getting, one of my goals is getting to the temple every week. And that was something that was really easy for me to do until I got my new calling. And now I'm so busy, I'm realizing I've got to be more intentional about getting that in my schedule. And
I love that. And I was just thinking about a talk by Wendy Watson Nelson. Mm-hmm. She had talked to a Relief Society president about what's the concerns in your ward. And it was, they were stressed out and not enough time. And they're just trying to keep their heads above water. And she said, well, I have a challenge, and it seems counterintuitive, but I would suggest that for 21 days, you increase your time in the temple and family history and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And the people that took that challenge really did see peace and less stress and just
more strength.
More strength to face all the challenges.
And we often associate the temple with those things, right? Inspiration and going there to find guidance or peace or strength. But I like your point, or her point, I should say, about family history. I've mm-hmm. always felt like that is the second best place to immediately feel the Spirit. You know how you feel the Spirit as you walk in the temple doors?
Yeah.
I feel the same way as I open up my computer and open up Family Search. I immediately can feel the Spirit of Elijah and the direction and those ancestors that want to be remembered and just all of it, the direction. I love it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's beautiful. So, Wendy, I know you've been through some trials, you know, with the house. I know that was rough. And just life. I mean, life happens and trials come for all of us. How have the things that you've gone through and some of the trials you've had helped deepen your relationship with Jesus Christ?
So it's funny, because as I've been thinking about my word of the year and how we've seen so many hard things recently, I was thinking about the Book of Ether, which is my favorite book in the Book of Mormon, and how the Lord encouraged the Jaredite people to make barges, and he instructed them on how to make them, and they went forth on the waters, and he told them that there would be floods, and he told them that he would be sending the winds. And sometimes those winds were hard for them to, like, sometimes they were a hindrance, and sometimes they pushed them toward the promised land. And in all of this time that they were taken below the waves and put up on top of the waves. The Lord was with them. And I'm kind of feeling a little bit like I'm in this flood. But I know that it's the Lord who's in charge. And I know that the winds that come could drive us into danger, but they can also drive us toward the promised land. And that's one thing that Rick and I have found in all of this is with each other and the strength that we find from each other and with God, that's how we're getting through this. Like, there's no other way we could get through it than knowing that God is in charge. And even in those times with, you know, selling the house when we couldn't see what was the next step, I don't know. I think I just have the gift of believing. You know, that's one of the things about me is that's one of my gifts is the gift of believing. And I truly believe that God is behind us and he's in front of us. And that's how I keep going. Just knowing he's in charge.
It just made me think of President Nelson. In his book, Heart of the Matter, he says, being of Israel, or basically letting God prevail in our lives and choosing Jesus Christ, is not for the faint of heart. To receive all the blessings that God has in store for Abraham's seed, we can each expect to be given our own unique Abrahamic test. God will test us, as the prophet Joseph Smith taught, by wrenching our very heartstrings. And I know that you've had your heartstrings wrenched, and so have all of us in the trials that we have gone through. So thanks so much for sharing with us.
Yep, learning to trust like that, mm-hmm. and giving your will over to his.
That's hard sometimes. It is. Mm-hmm.
Why is it so hard?
I don't know. Dumb. Because he likes us to grow, and sometimes that pushes us out of our comfort zone, and we as natural creatures want to stay comfortable, right?
Yeah.
And I am a stubborn person. Do you know that about me, Jerry?
I think I'm learning. I'm learning.
I am a stubborn person, and so even though I know that the Lord is in charge and that he sends the winds and that he's told us that there will be floods, I still want to do things how I want to do them sometimes. And mm-hmm. I think that that's the difficult thing is that I'm like, yeah, but, you know? Mm-hmm.
Wendy, I loved how you told me that your friend said to you when you told her your word was water, she said to you that water takes the shape of the vessel it is in, and that maybe God is shaping you to be the vessel he wants you to be. I loved that.
Wow. So I hear you saying that you've been able to trust in God and recognize that he's with you through these hard times. Have there been other experiences earlier in your life that you've had that have helped you to come to that place of trust? Have you come through a trial and looked back and thought, okay, yeah, I can see that the Lord was with me the whole way, and so I know we know he's an unchanging God, so I know that he's with me today in the middle of this challenge, even though right now you might, you know, sometimes we can't feel him or his presence when we're in the middle of the depths of the sea, right?
Yeah, totally. For sure. So one thing that I think of is my dad passing. So when I was a kid, my parents, they were separated like on and off my whole childhood. I don't have many memories of my parents living together. I'm the youngest of five kids, and I'm the youngest by like 4.5 years. But when they finally got divorced, when I was 10, my dad and my mom each got remarried, and my dad moved away out of state, and he married a woman who did not love being a stepmother, and she was not very welcoming, and sadly, that made my dad it made my dad really pull back from all of us, and I ended up not having much of a relationship at all with him. And even when I went on my mission when I was 21, I had no idea where he was. I know that by then he and that wife had divorced. That marriage lasted till I was like 17. And so they had been divorced for a few years before I went on my mission. But heading out on my mission, like I said, I did not know where he was. I didn't even really know if he was alive. I wrote a letter to the last address I had for him, and I just basically said, hey, I hope this finds you. I want you to know that I love you, and I hope that you're doing well. And he did get it, and he did write to me once or twice while I was on my mission, but after my mission, he really put an effort into getting to know me. And then, like I said, Rick and I got married shortly after I got back from my mission. And only about 3 years after, my dad got really sick. And he passed away really abruptly. And I was super confused because when we found out he was sick, I called literally every single temple in the United States and put his name on that prayer list. And I called, because I had served my mission in Brazil, I spoke Portuguese, and so I called every Portuguese-speaking mission in the world and put his name on the prayer list. And when he passed, I was really surprised. I was truly, honestly surprised. Because I thought, if there are so many people praying for him, how could he die? Mm-hmm. And so that was really hard. But looking at that, I can see all the blessings that came from his passing, which sounds weird to say that there are blessings from losing someone that you love. But I found that my relationship with Rick got stronger. My relationship with my siblings got stronger. Rick and I, you know, we got a little monetary surprise when my dad passed. And so we were able to move out of Rick's parents' house mm-hmm. where we had been living. And we were able to get a dining room table, which we had never had. And so we were able to, you know, start having our own little family dinners. And, you know, we just became closer as a tight-knit family. And I don't think that that would have happened otherwise. Mm-hmm. Going back to my house experience of trying to sell the house, it's crazy to think that all of the frustration, all of the pain, all of the not knowing what's going to happen next, it's crazy to know now that all of that had a purpose too. We completely believe that Heavenly Father knew that there were some things that we needed to face that we would not have been able to face if we were in the house. Mm. We know that he inspired us, I guess is a word I'll use, to put the house up for sale at a time when it wouldn't sell. Because even though when we first put it up for sale, it was during that time when houses were going like hotcakes, it quickly turned to the time when interest rates flew sky high.
That's right.
Yep,
that's
and right. We couldn't sell. And so we feel that we were inspired to put the house on the market at a time when God knew it would not sell and that it would be sitting there waiting for us to go back to it when we were ready. And we were able to be outside of the house to face really hard things that we don't have to now associate with being in the house. Mm-hmm. And we had to make some hard decisions that we would not have made had we been in the house. And so even though that was a really hard thing, looking back, I can see for sure God's hand was in it the whole way mm-hmm. from the beginning.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Yeah. We are so blessed to have a Savior that is truly in our lives, in the details. Yep.
Willing to walk with us.
Yeah.
So if you could go back and talk to your younger self with the wisdom that you now have, can you think of what you would say?
You know, I was thinking about that, and I don't know if I would say very much because my younger self did the things she did and made the decisions she made. And that's who I am today. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty happy with who I am today. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty grateful for the things that I know and have seen and the things that have made me the person I am. And so if I were to write a letter to my younger self or, you know, see my younger self, I would just give her a big hug mm-hmm. and say, girl, you got this. You're good.
Yep. Just trust. I think that's what I'd say.
Yep.
Just trust and know that the Lord is always with you, even when you cannot feel him there.
Yep.
Just trust in that.
Totally.
Yeah.
I love it.
As I've thought about a word and why is it good to have just a word? You know, how are we going to really progress unless we have all these goals written down and every step of them? And I think choosing a word just helps keep it simple. Totally. Doesn't it? Makes it feel more fluid, more...
It's just simple. It's simple, and it's always in our... It's a word that we can keep in our conscience and in our subconscious all the time.
Yeah, that will help guide us.
Yeah. For me, I think a reason that resonates with me is because I would sometimes, when I would have my list of goals, mm-hmm. I would sometimes get to the end of the year, and I'd be like, oh, shoot. I was super crappy with that one. Can I say crappy?
Yes.
And you're like, dang it, that's got to go on the goal list again next year.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so what I found with having just a word mm-hmm. continually in my mind is that there are a lot of different things you can do with that word. Mm-hmm. And like I was saying earlier, one thing I learned is that with my word simplify, there were really surprising ways that word showed itself. You know, like mm-hmm. even at work, there were times that I know I annoyed people because I wanted to simplify things and they wanted to be a little bit extravagant about things. But it's funny because having just that word on your mind continually just helps you kind of like be like, okay, how am I going to simplify today? Or how am I going to be water today? Or how am I going to love today? Yeah. And it keeps things open. Right. If going to the temple is the way that you're going to show love that day, that is wonderful. Mm-hmm. If, you know, choosing something from justserve.org is a, you know, thing that you're going to do that day, then you can choose that day to do it, but you don't have some checklist. And some people really love checklists, mm-hmm. and I usually really love a checklist, but I think it can also be overwhelming, and it can also kind of sometimes be discouraging to have a checklist.
If you don't make it through very many, it really can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you've just got a word,
right? Okay, and like
what I'm going to do today.
Yeah, with you, Jerry, you know, you're probably not going to master French this year, and you're probably not going to graduate with your degree this year,
right.
But you are going to learn.
Right.
Every day, all along the way. Yeah. And we can look back and say, I might not have mastered every one of these goals, mm-hmm. but I have progressed in this area of loving others or learning or, becoming more simplified or water, whatever it is.
And I think journaling is such an important part of it.
Yeah.
You know, being able to journal and say, okay, I did drink this much water, and I've been doing the same thing. Okay, these are some of the things I learned today. And what I want to continue, or this is what I learned about this person today. And for me, I always wrote down the long laundry list of goals, but didn't often go back to them. I think that's kind of one of the other major factors is we have really great aspirations and we write them down, but then they're not just always something. It's a list. So it's not like a list goes over and over in our head, right?
Yeah.
It's not until we go back and look at them and think, oh, where have I come? How far have I come? But with the word, you get to think about it all the time because mm-hmm. it's just a word, but it has so many implications.
Totally.
And that's what I've loved about it so far.
Yeah, simplifies it. Yeah. And we're not saying that writing down goals and writing down the steps is bad. That's important, right?
Totally.
Right. And everybody has their way. Mm-hmm. This is just a new way to think about it. If you want to this year, and as you're starting out, and obviously we're already, as we record this, at the end of January. It's hard to believe. It's going by so fast. But in all this talk about words, it reminds me of a story that President Russell M. Nelson told about one of the wives of one of his grandsons, and she was going through a real struggle, and she had talked to President Nelson's wife, Wendy, about it, and had, I think, maybe asked for some advice from Grandpa. And when Wendy was talking to President Nelson about this, he just said one word, and that was myopic. And so when Wendy went back to Jill and told her that his only response to this challenge she was facing, which was her father was dying and she was worried that she was going to lose her testimony because she was really mad at God and she was really struggling and didn't want her father to die. And so when Wendy came back and told her, you know, myopic is what Grandpa said, she was really upset and thought, you know, she wanted a blessing. She wanted a promise that her dad was going to live and that she was, everything was going to be okay. And then I'm just going to read this because this is, I can't say it the way President Nelson does. He said, Jill later admitted to Wendy that initially she was devastated by my response. She said, I was hoping for Grandfather to promise me a miracle for my dad. I kept wondering why the word myopic was the one he felt compelled to say. After Jill's father passed on, the word myopic kept coming to her mind. She opened her heart to understand even more deeply that myopic meant nearsighted, and her thinking began to shift. Jill then said, myopic caused me to stop, think, and heal. That word now fills me with peace. It reminds me to expand my perspective and seek the eternal. It reminds me that there is a divine plan and that my dad still lives and loves and looks out for me. Myopic has led me to God. And I just loved that. I'm like, that word, a word that she could ponder and became so meaningful for her. And that's what we want to express to you, that if that's the direction you want to go this year, pick a word that might make you really think. Wendy, we appreciate so much you sharing your word and your testimony of the Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been great having you, and we appreciate your willingness to come and share your experiences and story with us. And speaking of stories, if any of our listeners would like to share their story with us, you can reach out to us at allunderhiswings.com, and you'll see a link there where you can share your story there, or just let us know that you'd like to join us on our podcast. We'd love that. And until next time, may we all stay safely under His wings.